Senators say it's time to repair a five-year divide between the labor unions and the Social Security Administration. Senator Sherrod Brown calls the labor management relations between unions and SSA the worst among all agencies. Carolyn Watts Colvin is the nominee for Commissioner of Social Security. She's been the acting SSA Commissioner since February of 2013. At a hearing, Colvin promises that this is her confirmation hearing, that if confirmed, she would try to bridge that labor-management relations gap.
There's always been a very acrimonious relationship in the agency. I worked with the union when I was here from 1994 to 2001 under President Clinton, and we had what we call a partnership. In fact, I was the one who signed that contract at that time, and I felt that relationships had improved. When I returned, I was amazed to see the deterioration. But what I've done is I meet with them on a regular basis. I have lunch with them without management staff so that we can begin to just get to know one another. I've had relationship training given by the Federal Labor Relations Board to have managers and the union come together to look at how we can build trust, how we can communicate better, et cetera. You have my commitment that I will continue to do that.
Now, relations deteriorated in 2009 when labor negotiations began dragging into a five-year stalemate over a new contract. Another question Colvin will eventually have to answer is why SSA's administrative costs are rising. Senator Orrin Hatch says the Social Security Administration's administrative budget rose 34% over the past decade, but Social Security retirement and disability beneficiaries increased only 24%. Colvin says it's time to modernize SSA's aging IT network, and this means finding a new programming language to start replacing COBOL.
We recognize that we have to move away from COBOL to some extent, but not fully, because in some instances it's the best language. And so there is a transition to modernize our systems. One of the challenges will be how quickly we can do that, because there are still other types of IT projects that we must also develop at the same time to make our system useful and efficient, both for our employees and for the public. But there is a plan, an IT plan, that will, in fact, gradually move some of that COBOL language and replace it with other types of language, but not fully replace it.
It can never be fully replaced. Senators also asked Calvin how she plans to prevent disability insurance fraud. Colvin says the agency would continue to use what she calls predictive data analytics. Basically, Colvin sailed through her hearing without any dissent. Senators gave her positive endorsements. Senate Finance Committee Chairman Ron Wyden praises her record of working collaboratively with SSA stakeholders.
Ms. Colvin has also made several service improvements. She's made a strong push to make Social Security information more user-friendly and accessible to a broader swath of Americans. She has made Social Security work more efficiently with other federal partners. And she has devoted significant time and significant resources to addressing the needs of the many disabled Americans the agency serves.
The committee didn't say when it would vote on Colvin's nomination. If confirmed, she would be the commissioner until January of 2019. And, of course, the Senate is on recess now for 5 weeks. So just like a lot of ambassadorial nominees that didn't make it through, this one did not get voted on. So I don't know, seems like, couldn't they stay another couple days and get some of the stuff cleaned up? I don't know. Carolyn Colvin is somebody I've spoken to a couple of times over the years. She's got an interesting background. I just thought I would just as found this bio of her at the socialsecurity.gov site. She was the Maryland Secretary of Human Resources. It's called the Department of Human Resources in Maryland from 1989 to 1994. Good five-year stint there. She was also Special Assistant to the Secretary of Maryland's Department of Transportation for a couple of years, ending in 2011. She was also Director of Human Services for D.C. for a couple of years, ending in 2003, and also the Montgomery County, Maryland Department of Health and Human Services Director from 2003 to 2007. So I think if anybody knows what it takes to deliver benefits and to operate, you know, bureaucracy for getting that level of dollars out, that many number of people served, it's Carolyn Colvin. So we'll look forward to that nomination later on. And you can learn more about Social Security and the nominee at federalnewsradio.com. Federal News Radio's intern, Ariel Levin-Waldman, produced this report. Now your Federal Drive Daybook. Look at today's hearings and events in and around Washington. It's August. No one wants to be here in Washington. Don't you hate when August comes around so fast? I mean, it seems like we just had Memorial Day, and that's life. Congress, as we mentioned, is on recess, but a couple of events for those hardy people hanging around as the Nationals keep losing and the humidity keeps rising. At 10:30 this morning, the American Enterprise Institute hosts Watergate Revisited, the reforms and the reality 40 years later. Four conservative political observers will look back at Watergate and the laws that followed, including the War Powers Resolution of 1973, the Federal Election Campaign Act amendments in 1974, the Budget Control and Impoundment Act of 1974, and the Independent Counsel Statute of 1978. Michael Barone of the Washington Examiner will be speaking there. John Bolton, ambassador to the United Nations under President George W. Bush. Norm Ornstein, author of many books, including It's Even Worse Than It Looks, How American Constitutional System Collided with the New Politics of Extremism. I guess that's extreme on both ends. And Fred Thompson, actor, former U.S. Senator, and a 1973 Minority Counsel for Republicans on the Senate Select Committee. And all I can say is I still remember where I was in my car when I learned that President Nixon had resigned. I was in front of the library near the high school on Highland Avenue in Needham, Massachusetts, and that's when it came over the radio. Also, at 1 o'clock this afternoon, Goddard at NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center in Greenbelt hosts Small Business Administration head Maria Contreras-Sweet and Maryland Senator Ben Cardin for an unveiling of the 2013 Small Business Federal Procurement Scorecard. You can probably guess who got good marks, but here's another tip. NASA Administrator Charles Bolden, he'll also be there. The scorecard shows how well agencies have done and are doing vis-a-vis their contracting goals, including those for small businesses straight up, small businesses owned by women, small disadvantaged businesses, service-disabled veteran-owned small businesses, those located in historically underutilized business zones, hub zones. That takes place today at the NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center in Greenbelt. And just a couple of news notes before recessing. The Senate confirms a new ambassador to Russia. John Teft receives high marks from Democrats and Republicans, but his vote was delayed because of a Republican hold. Mike Enzi of Wyoming held him up because he's mad not about Teft, but because of rule changes earlier that made it easier for the Senate to overrule the minority. Anyhow, eventually Teft was confirmed, and he is going to be headed to Russia. He had been ambassador to Ukraine under President Obama and to Georgia under President George W. Bush. You can find those stories and much more at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.